This is a place in Jerusalem. We're actually talking about right here along this west wall of the city of 30 AD. This is the Temple Mount. This is the western wall of the Temple Mount. The temple was destroyed, no longer there. So when people say, it's the western wall, is the western wall of the temple. This is the western wall of the Temple Mount. This is the western wall of the city. This western wall is not the western wall of the temple. The temple is gone. Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. It's gone. We can maybe find fragments of parts of the temple, decorations that they found. There's piles of stones. I've stood on them down here, just piles of stone where the Romans push it off. But this is a retaining wall that holds up, that kind of frames this flat platform here. You can see it right here. Here's the eastern wall right here, and the western wall is on the other side. This is the southern wall. And these steps and some of these stones, especially these lower stones, are the actual stones of the first century. So you can do excavation and find a wide variety. It's amazing how many things you can find. This right here is what we're looking at right here. This is where Herod's palace was at. It was long, it's called the Citadel today. He built three major towers right here, named one after one of his brothers, Phocion, named one after his favorite wife, Mariam. And he built these towers right here, Josephus records. You still see the foundation of, they've been torn down and then rebuilt, but the lower levels, the foundations of those towers are still there. But this was all Herod's palace right here. This wall was excavated, this western wall of the city, was excavated in 1970 to 1975 during that time period. And they found no walls or gates in this except one gate right here. There's a gate going right here into the city. And it's a what do you call it? It's a for a person to go through, a postern gate. It's not like a city gate where you know chariots would go in, horses and public travel. It's just for like a person or a few people to go in and out of right here. There's a gate right up here. Now, back in 30 AD, this is clearly the place of Jesus' crucifixion. It's where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is at. There's no, you can talk about it. There's up here, there's Calvary, Gordon's tomb, which is an Old Testament tomb. It's got a place that looks like the skull at a rock formation. And a lot of people like to go up there. It's like a garden. It's real peaceful. No one goes up there. But this is really crazy because it's been built over for 1700 years, and so it's a crazy, crazy place. There's church history upon church history. The Crusaders took it and fought for it. They built it. You've got to really kind of get past all the hype to recognize, yeah, this is the right location. And I could talk about that, and you can read the Jerusalem book and get details on that. But there's a gate right here that would go out to this, but see, this is. This, there's a gate right here that would come into this part of the city, but this is outside the city at that time. Nonetheless, we're talking about this wall right here today. This is the trials, six trials of Jesus. And this begins on Friday. He's arrested, say late Thursday night, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's right here. The Garden of Gethsemane is right down here. This is rising up the Mount of Olives. Garden of Gethsemane is over here. And so he's arrested here, point one. The first place they take him to the house of Caiaphas, and he's tried before the priest. And then they take him from here. The Last Supper was right in the same area. This is kind of like the rich part of the town right here. The high priest lived here. You're going to have the Hasmonean Palace where Herod Antipas has come down for the Passover. And so he's staying in his relatives, because he was a descendant of the Hasmoneans. He's staying there in their mansion, their palace. The Caiaphas, he's got it. The high priest, they've got a palace. And Jesus was apparently at John Mark's house, where John Mark's mother had a nice house in the nice part of town. I mean, Jesus isn't having the Last Supper, down in the ghetto somewhere. He's in the nice part of the city having the Last Supper. And that's pretty much well detailed. And he was in the upper room. It's been prepared for him. So he goes from here for his first arrest. Or his arrest out here, and comes back in this part of the city and goes to the house of Caiaphas and all those details where the priests try him. And finally, they take him, when they find him guilty, they take him where they're going to accuse him to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin's going to find him guilty. The high priest will meet with him there. And then they take him. Now, I have changed this in 2000. 8 in the framework book. And then by 2010, I had to print it again, made some adjustments. Because here's Fort Antoni. Are you okay? Are you still kind of with me here? I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you. I'm not even to the point of the story yet. Via Dolorosa. You've heard of Via Dolorosa, the way of mourning. That's all messed up. I mean, you're going to follow the way of the cross. They come in the lion's gate. They go down this way. They've got places and stuff. And so that's fine. I mean, you're talking to crusaders trying to figure stuff out. And they end up at the right place. They end up at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But they're, you know, you've got to really read the text of Scripture to find out there's 6 different trials that Jesus faces. And I used to have at the Fort Antonia, that's the garrison right up there on the west side. It's right up on this part. You can still see the foundation stones of it. I'm trying to think if there's anything I've got here. But that's where the soldier, when Paul was arrested in the book of Acts, when he has a riot breaks out here, they take him into Fort Antonia. And that's where the soldiers met with him, or that they, you know, the general met with him, but that's where the troops were kept. This was Herod's palace over here. So Herod had died, you know, and they had replaced Herod with a governor. And the governor was at this time Pilate. He's a Roman. He stays in Herod's palace. I had him staying here, but as I studied and I read other people's material, that would be like staying in the barracks. You know, the governor's not going to stay. He's going to stay at the luxurious Herod's mansion palace, his citadel. And so Pilate is here. The high priests are here. Herod Antipas, who's from Galilee, has come down and is at the Hasmonean palace. And Jesus is going to appear between the high priest and then the godfather, Caiaphas, you know, both the priest and the high priest, or the high priest and the guy behind the scenes, the big money, the government behind the government, the shadow government. So you got the high priest, and you got Caiaphas, who's running, Annas, the Caiaphas, the high priest, and we have found, not we, but they have his sarcophagus. They found his family tomb. And then Annas, the retired high priest, he was dismissed by the Romans, but he still controlled things. Think of Joe Biden and Obama. Joe Biden's the president, but before you have any permission, you meet with Obama, and that's where it was right here. You've got Caiaphas, the high priest, but they bring in, I think, actually they go the other way. They meet with Caiaphas, and then they bring him to the high priest Annas, and bring him to the high priest Caiaphas. Nonetheless, they take him to the Sanhedrin. They condemn him at the Sanhedrin, and that's going on all night long. From 1 o'clock arrest, this is all night long they're having trial. 1, 2 priestly trials, 3 the Caiaphas trial, or the Sanhedrin, and then they take him to Pilate to have him executed. I used to have it going up here to Pilate, to Fort Antonia. I now think it's in the Herod's palace. So I used to have a line coming here to Herod's palace. Just a general somewhere. Now what I'm going to tell you is exactly where it took place. This is new information for me. I've walked by it multiple times. I ran laps around it and ran by it. I filmed looking the other way because I had already taken pictures of this rock formation and stuff and never paid attention to it. I labeled it as a gate, and it is, but just didn't understand it. Until more recently, and it's been 2012, I bumped into the information. I did not understand how to process it, and I've gone through different things, and now I'm going to tell you, there's, once again, no doubt about this. We know where Jesus' trial before Pilate was at. It was right here. So they would have taken him, Annas, Caiaphas, the high priest, to the Sanhedrin, and then would have came out this gate, came down the western side of the city, they're outside the city now, and approached Pilate. They're not going to go in, because inside they would become unclean, because it's a holy day. And there's idols all over. Just think of Greek statues and think of idols. It's all full. Outside here, it's all Jewish. Inside Herod's palace, it's all pagan. So they won't go inside. They make Pilate come out to see them. So they come out here in this location. Pilate says, well, he finds out he's from Galilee. He says, well, then take him to Herod's. So they take him back up to Herod Antipas, And Herod, he won't even talk to Herod. And Jesus says, Jesus talks with Pilate. Jesus says a couple things to the high priest. But Herod Antipas won't even, he's just won't even look at him. I mean, I'm not sure if he made eye contact or not, but there's nothing. And finally, Herod says, well, get rid of him. And they send him back to Pilate. Pilate comes out, has to come back out a second time to meet with the mob. Now remember, Jesus is on the cross on Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning. So he's arrested at 1 o'clock in the morning. 8 hours later, he's on the cross. So between, again, 1 o'clock and general time, he's going to be arrested around one. Annas, Caiaphas, Sanhedrin, Pilate, no, go to Herod, Herod, back to Pilate, and now the sun's coming up, now the rooster's crowing, this is Pilate's, or Peter's denied him, and then Pilate says, well, crucify him then. And then he carries the cross right here, and he's outside the city gates this whole time right here. Okay, that's what, we'll read the scripture. Now, if you say, you know, and you certainly should, if you disagree with something, if you say, well, I don't think that's the case, look, again, good, think. I had one, wrong. I had just a general two, wrong. And now I'm saying specifically, here's where he was. He was not tried here by Pilate. He was not tried just, you know, somewhere in Herod's palace. He was tried right here outside of Herod's palace by Pilate. Again, so I've already changed my mind, and we're talking, you know, 2008 to 2025. So, I mean, feel free to disagree with me because I really didn't understand this until recently. Okay, so turn the page. Well, I'm not going to turn the page. I'm going to keep flipping through my screens. I'm going to read some scripture here to you in just a moment. Now, here's the next picture, just a little bit of a close-up of what we've got there. You've got the same thing there. And you can see coming down, this is a long western wall. This is a long, again, when I say western wall, there's the western wall of the Temple Mount. That's not what we're talking about. This is another west wall of the city. Again, this western wall, it would be fun to talk about that nonetheless. All right, this is a long west wall of the city. It's the city today, we'll see a picture of it here in a moment. It was built by Suleiman the Magnificent in 1535, 1540, you know, to keep the Crusaders out after the Muslims retook the city. But it was built, generally, it was built on top. A lot of these walls are built on top of the bedrock that the Old Testament city was built, the walls were built on, and then the New Testament city was built on, and then in 1500 they built on the same construction line. So you'll see layers of blocks from different time periods, but this is generally the same wall today that was on the side of Herod's palace, that because his palace is sitting right against the wall right there. There has been some adjustments. This is out of the Jerusalem book. This is looking down, this is looking at the west wall of the city like this. So if you see this corner right here, the southwest corner right here, I did a videotape where I ran all the way around the city about 3 miles. I started right here at this corner and ran, you know, up Mount Zion first right there. Again, that's what they call it. There's a medieval tower there. That'd be from Suleiman's time. This is the part we're looking at today. This is the walls of the city today. And I'm going to go back here. And what we're looking at, see right there, that's that southwest corner. That's where I started running. That's where the medieval tower was in the corner. And I ran this way. But what we're looking at is this area right here. But this next picture is going to be this part of the wall. See the three towers right here? This part of the wall just turned sideways right there. So there it is. This is what we're looking at. Now, they excavated this in the 1970s. What they found, there was no gates along the first century Jerusalem. There's no gates except one gate right here, a small entryway right here. That is not a city gate. It's a gate for like just passengers, people coming in and out. And it would go directly into Herod's palace. Most likely it was built there. See, this is Herod's palace coming up here, all the way up to here. That's that Herod's palace. This is where Pilate is residing when he's in town. This was probably built there to escape the city. So if the city revolted against Herod, He could get out. He always had an escape route, if it would be at Herodias or the Herodium. I mean, at the Herodium or at Masada. He had plans. He had plans on how to escape, and he could run across to the other side to the Jordan and had a place there that he could hide. So this was part of his plan. But as always, at these gates, and I've got pictures I've showed you at different classes, this is where the Bema seat would be, so people could appear before the king or the city ruler and present their case. And this right here, as we're going to see, is where you're going to see a Bema seat, steps coming up to it. There's going to be the remains of a city gate coming up towards this. You'll be able to see the walls. Again, like I said, I walked by this in 2007 and took some pictures of it. I went there specifically in 2010 to get pictures for the Jerusalem book and snap some photos of it. And then that's why I got pictures of it. I got pictures, but I had to go through all my pictures. Look, it's like, oh yeah, I kind of got in the background. I got this picture. I didn't study this. I just kind of walked by it and took some pictures. So fortunately, well, just like if you ever watch me on Facebook, it's like, man, he takes a lot of pictures. Well, fortunately, man, I took a lot of pictures. And I could filter through there and find bits and pieces of something that I can show you that I didn't even know what I was looking at. So here we go. Do you see that there's going to be a tower right here? An Ottoman tower is a tower built by Suleiman the Magnificent from the 1500s. A tower built by the Muslims in the 1500s. Medieval tower, that's built in the 1500s. Another Ottoman tower. These are Herodian walls. In this wall, you'll be able to see Hasmonean stones built by the Maccabees after they won the revolt and took Jerusalem back from the Greeks. On top of those stones, or beside those stones, you'll see Herodian stones, a lot smoother, a lot nicer. You got a nice boss around them, or a little, I'd call it a trimmed edge. And then on top of that, you can see rougher stones, not as nice, built in the 1500s by the Muslims on top of it to rebuild it. So let's take a look now. There we have it. There's an Ottoman tower, okay? This is what we're looking at right here. There's part of a gate right down here. I'm building up to it here. There's part of a gate right here. There's what remains of a Bema seat. And there's a corner right here where you would come in. These are clearly, dirt used to be up to here. In the before 1970, the dirt line ran right here. You could come up here and look right through those. Those are arrow loops or arrow slots where you could, on the inside, they're like a shelf with an angle like this, and there's a little sliver right there. They're all throughout the wall. They're from the 1500s. That you could look like this out there and shoot arrows, but you could rotate. It's like you could almost get 180 degrees. It's like a weaponry. So you could shoot arrows from those slots, but to get hit by an arrow, someone's going to have to be pretty good shot. And those are called arrow loops. Nonetheless, the wall was cut. The dirt came all the way up to here. In 19, they excavated down, and they began to find stuff. Here is another picture. Now I'm up by the wall looking this way, and I took all these pictures accidentally. Not accidentally, I'm taking a picture going like, I don't know, looks important, I'll figure it out. This is the gate. I guess this is the west, this out here, this is the country. If you left Jerusalem in 30 AD, you're heading, right down here is Bethlehem. You're heading you're out in the country. This is the gate. There's a wall of the gate right here. There's the other wall of the gate. You're coming in. You'll see some steps here. They'll be coming up to here. And then right in this area is going to be what we're going to call the Bema seat, where Pilate would have sat for judgment if he ever had to come out of the palace and face a crowd. This is just, things that I'm not sure what those are. But, they could be ancient. They could be, 1500s. We'll keep moving. But this is looking south. All right, here we go. This is a great picture. I just put this in here because now I'm on the south side of the wall looking north. So I'm on I'm down here somewhere just taking a picture all the way up the wall just to get an angle of the west wall of the city. See how it branches off up here? The Joppa Gate, you'd go into the city today up in here. This is all Herod's palace all along here. And then So you can see different types of stones here. And this is the Hinnom Valley. This is the valley, a natural valley descending down here and curving around the south side and joining the Kidron Valley on the east side. This is Gehenna, the Hinnom Valley. Ben Hinnom, the valley Gehenna, it's the sons of Hinnom. And it eventually, you can see how nice it looks even here. Look at this. See how nice it even looks here. This drops down into the Hinnom Valley right down here because it moves down and then curves and hits the Kidron Valley on the south side. This is where idol worship broke out in the Old Testament, Manasseh. This is when Josiah turned the south part in, especially the south part where it comes down, turned into a garbage dump. Which is to keep people from going there. He couldn't keep people out of the mall. You know, they kept going to the shopping mall, and then he just turned it into a garbage dump. And so people would stop going down and worshiping idols. I just grabbed something that people, we were at the mall last night, a lot of people there. And so it's like, how do we keep these people from worshiping idols? Let's just throw all the garbage down there and burn it. And so see how beautiful it is. So it was a luscious, in the Hinnom Valley, it's a garbage dump. But at times in the Old Testament, even today, you can see how lush and trees are growing down there. In fact, those pictures on the wall up there in the dining room and in the living room, that's me walking through the Hinnom Valley on the south side. If you look at this one, I'm looking this way to the east. Is that right? Which way? East. And looking on this one, I'm looking this way to the west. And I'm down in the south. I'm walking through the garbage dump where they used to worship idols in those two pictures. So I got two pictures of hell up on my living room. And that's where Gehenna became a term for the lake of fire, where you'll be like Gehenna, all burning forever. Okay, so this is the Hinnom Valley. And this is the Hinnom Valley coming down here and looking up that western wall. All right. Now, this is that gate again. Here's the wall of the gate. Here's another wall of the gate. You see, it's not much. That's what I mean. I took pictures of it, but I didn't know what it was. Imagine this being built higher. If you come on Tuesday night classes, we went through the different walls and the different gates of different Old Testament cities there. And then there's steps. Boom, 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 boom. Steps going up. And right here, you can see the Bema Seat. And there's steps carved into the bedrock of the where you would go up steps and then Pilate would have some kind of a chair, like we'd maybe call it a throne, where he would sit and hear the case. And you'd come down those steps, come over here, and go down other steps to this place. And see all these stones? These are Hasmonean stones. These stones are Herodian. Then all these are more. There's an arrow loop up there. All right. Here's that again. Just a close-up, a little bit closer, the Bema Seat. Again, you know, I wish I knew what I was looking at because there'd be a picture of me standing right there and Tony would be taking it. I'd be doing some, you know, archaeological pose like I was discovering something. But I'm just walking by going, I don't know, it looks important. And so fortunately, but there's the steps, there's the gate coming up there. There's the Bema Seat. And this is, if you haven't figured it out, this is where Jesus had his last stand with Pilate. This is the place. They crowded, would have came out here and stood right here in this gate. And they says, we can't come in because we want to stay, we can't be go in because we'll be unclean for the Passover. We're trying to kill Jesus, but we don't want to become sinful. So we got to stay out here so we're holy. Pilate would have came out and sat down here. Jesus would have stood either up here or down here. Well, there's a place here. Well, there's a great picture. That's right there on the site. So there's the gate, the steps coming up. Then there's a place right here where you come in and go through that gate of the city. This is a pavement right here, which you know all about. You already know about this pavement. And then there's steps coming up to the Bema Seat right here that I showed you several pictures of. And that would be, they go through there, and into here would be the barracks where the soldiers stayed. There's barracks in here also where a few of the soldiers were. And then Herod's palace up in here. So this is where the people would have been out here looking up at Pilate. Jesus would have been up in here. All right, here we go. There is the Bema Seat. You can see the gate over here. They would have come up here. This is the Bema Seat. There would be steps coming up there. And then right here, when they excavated this in the 1970s, there was pavement stones coming out. And this is part of this is disappointing, but it's part of archaeology. So they're trying to get down and find out what's here. So they're documenting everything. So you can go back in the journals, you can read about it. They got drawings of everything. But they couldn't get the pavement stones out of the wall because the wall was sitting on them. So there's like four or five pavement stones sticking out. But as the archaeological report records and what they found, this comes all the way out here. This pavement comes all the way out here. And they had to remove it so they could keep excavating. But that would be the pavement that Jesus stood on. And here it is again. There's the pavement. You can see the Bema Seat. You're familiar with this. You're getting familiar with this. So now this is standing at the Bema Seat with my back against the wall, not realizing what's right here. Looking out the gate. So there's the walls. There's steps right there. Looking down to the Hinnom Valley. Oh, look. A beautiful woman. See that? There she is. That's okay. Yeah. There she is. Tony right there. She's taking pictures too. There she is. So she's walking right by one of those. She's walking by. And there's Tony taking a picture. There's the pavement right here. This is the pavement coming right out here. The Bema Seat's up here. Here's one wall of the gate. So Tony would be standing outside the gate right here. She couldn't be able to see originally because of the wall beard. But she's looking right here where the crowd of Jesus, you know, crucify him. That's where they're standing. This is the pavement, what's left of it, because there'd be a door here where they could have walked through. That's the pavement where Jesus stood when he was tried. And there it is again. I got it there. You can see some of 1, 2, 3, 4 stones right there. Once again, I apologize, because if I knew what I was looking at, I would have gone up there and I would have a picture of every piece of the stone. I'd have videotape or whatever. But again, this is part of the wall. This is the pavement. They would have gone up some steps here, stood on this pavement, looked left, and been able to go up some stairs where Pilate would have been seated. And then he had steps going up to his bench there. And then Jesus... Pilate would have gone in and out of here from his palace, and Jesus, when he got whipped, would have gone in to the soldiers and been brought back out and demonstrated there. Is that enough? And they said, no, crucify him. This is probably the best picture I've got. It's almost like I knew what I was doing. There's the two walls going up to the gate. There's the steps coming up. You go up some more steps. You step up, and it's cut in the bedrock here. The pavement's on the bedrock right here. Then there'd be some kind of steps going up into here. This would be some elevated even higher. But this is the base of the Bema Seat. There you see the steps starting here. And so Pilate would be up here, come down steps, and there's Jesus, and then go in through the gate. Again, this would be new construction. A lot of this was destroyed by the Romans and destroyed in 135 by Hadrian, went through the Crusades. It wasn't until 1530, 35, 40 that the Muslims, Suleiman the Magnificent, a great leader of the Muslims, rebuilt the city. Okay, so that's a great picture there. And there's Tony standing there. There you see the great, see the colors here better. See the steps going up right here? There's even a pillar there that's got some carvings on it that was part of the Bema Seat that would be part of that's sitting right here. And she's standing, that sign says City Gate. That's the best we could come up with. This is the City Gate of the old time. Okay, let's go find something interesting. It's like, what? This is right here. When Friday comes, they start talking about the crowd and Jesus' trial and crucify him. It happens here on the west side of the city. The Bema Seat, he would be standing over here on the pavement. Tony standing there in the gate of the city. Now here's a drawing of it. This is just an artistic drawing of it. Steps going up. There's the gate going in. There's the pavement stones that he would have stood on. This is going up to the Bema Seat. There's a close up right there. You got a picture of what I'm talking about? Is this making sense at all? And now, this is, again, an artistic view looking down. This is the steps going up into the city gates. Tony was standing right here looking at that. This is where the pavement where Jesus would have stood. Pilate would have sat here. Maybe Jesus would have came up there and stood, and he would have presented him to the crowd. He would have put him back down here. He would have come into here. This is the main part of the palace up here. You can get a tour of this today. You can see a lot of this today. Get a tour of the citadel. See a lot of the stuff that was there in Herod's day, the foundation stuff, and plus it's been rebuilt. Then down on this side, there was a barrack where some soldiers stayed also. So Jesus would have come in here when he was handed to the soldier, and watch this. Boom. You want to see that again? There's an artistic view of it. Now this is an aerial view. This is where they were, the soldiers. This is going up here. Does that bother you? Parking lot. I mean, we got the whole world to park in. Can we excavate this? They're used to. Everybody knows if you started digging through your floor, you're going to dig into the Byzantine time period. You're going to dig into the New Testament time period. You're eventually going to find the time of David and the Canaanites. So, stop digging because we got to get to work. I mean, they live here, you know. So I mean, it's a different world. And me, if you find a silver dime at the grocery store, you keep it because they stopped making these in 1964. It's a silver dime. It's 1964. Wow, that's ancient. So we did different worlds. Okay, but anyway, you see the stones right there. That's the gate, the steps, and this is where they would have a door come in here. And again, this is the artistic view. Oh, wait, stop. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Okay, now they did do this. They did take part of this area here to get more parking lot. But to get more parking lot, they did excavate part of it and went down as far as they could. And what they found was a Roman floor from, and here it is. This is clearly Roman. So that's where Jesus would have stood when he was. I mean, it would have been. It's something. We see again. We can be pretty precise. This is where the crowd was standing outside the city. Jesus would have walked up these steps and had a stand on the stone pavement here. Pilate would have been at the bema seat. Jesus would have gone into here with the soldiers, and somewhere in this area, he would have been flogged and whipped and put a crown of thorns and then sent back out because there's a lot of going in and going out right here. And this is, again, this is where he would have come in. And this is not, see, they've excavated down, and this is right from, that's the barracks pavement where Jesus would have stood trial, or not stood trial, where he would have been whipped. Now there's again, outside looking at the city gate. Now, with that, what I would like to do, I'm going to read through these verses right here. Mark chapter 15. And that what I just showed you is, again, I'll use the word scientific. That's boots on the ground. That's archaeology. Those are photo. I took that photograph. See that there? See me right there? Got my hat on, got my camera. There's my shadow. That's the best I got of myself is a shadow. I'm just a mere shadow. The beauty queen, she gets in more pictures than the shadow does. But this is it. And so archaeology has explained this, coming digging down into from the 70s, they found this. And this is the only gate that goes on this side of the city. It's the only gate that goes into Herod's palace, except from inside the city. But you're going to see in this story, so you can figure out something on the other side. But here's the bema seat. And as you read this story, you hear things. See if you can find some things. We're going to read some verses. See if you can find some things that, well, you know the story. But now that you've got this, you can be reflective. You can be, you know, spiritual. You can be, you know, thinking about Easter. You can look at this in a critical sense. Does the information stack up? Do you think Pilate was trying Jesus at Fort Antonia, right by the Temple Mount? Do you think maybe, you know, I mean, just see if all these pieces come together. Remember, they're outside the city. The people can't go into Herod's palace because they're Jews and it's a holy day, and they're outside the city. And so all these things should line up. There should be a lot of going in and going out. Here it is. Chapter 15, I'm going to read 1 through 15, NIV. Very early in the morning, see, this is, you know, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. So this is Jesus' third trial. Annas, Caiaphas have already met as the priest. He's on the Temple Mount. And the Sanhedrin, they've reached a decision. I think we should kill him. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So now in your mind, they led him away to Pilate. Where's Pilate? Again, you don't need to know. Here's the information, but it's kind of fun. You can see where they take him from the Temple Mount now, somehow get him out of here. And Pilate says, "Are you king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So now the chief priests would be standing. See, Pilate would be here. Jesus would be here on the pavement. We'll find that in other verses. and the crowd is out here hollering information up to or into Pilate. The chief priests accuse him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of? But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was custom of the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man named Barnabas was in prison with the Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the uprising. Now this Barabbas, when they say insurrectionist, he would actually be someone who was fighting for the Jewish people. He was fighting for the concept of a Messiah. He was fighting for the concept of, we're going to throw the power of Rome off. We're tired of being ruled by the pagans. He would be potentially, could be a great patriot. He could be a great, conservative values. He could be a terror. He's a combination of a nationalist, combination terrorist, but this is one of many. There was hundreds, I think it was like the number, like someone, I think someone gave me a number, I was reading in a book somewhere, like 100, and between the time of Jesus' birth and his crucifixion, there had already been 130 people executed for being the Messiah, or trying to start up and set the stage for them. It's like John the Baptist set the stage for Jesus. There's many, and Barabbas could have maybe thought he was the Messiah, or Barabbas maybe thought he was setting the stage, making straight the path for the coming of the Messiah. And they become very violent. That's why Simon the Zealot, one of Jesus' disciples, was Simon the Zealot. That's the name of a terrorist group, the Zealots, or the Zealots. And they would have knives and swords, and they would go into crowds and start some kind of, they would start a riot. I mean, it's exactly what you see. They'd go into crowds, they'd start a protest, they'd work up the people, maybe have to, you want to storm the Capitol? And so they'd storm the Capitol and say, oh, we've got a riot started. They'd stab a couple people in the crowd. No one could see who did. It's like, oh, they're murdering. It's the Romans. They're murdering people. And they'd cause these things. The Romans would continually push this down. So one of Jesus' disciples was Simon the Zealot, which means he was Simon the terrorist that was going to all these, protests, getting paid by George Soros to, burn Teslas or something. And then Jesus says, Simon, come follow me. And he ends up being one of the disciples. Well, Barabbas was in, it doesn't say he was a thief. It doesn't say he was, a sexual offender. It says he was an insurrectionist. Well, an insurrectionist is anything that comes against Rome, or against what the government. And so, I don't want to read too much into it, but Barabbas would be very similar to what Jesus was doing, except Jesus was doing it the right way in God's calling, and all these other guys were imitators, and Jesus, he came in the middle. There's many people that came in his lifetime that were the Christ. And Jesus says, after me, many will come saying, I am he, I am the Christ. And so you can think about, modern times, some modern prophet somewhere, and that's goofy. But he's talking about guys that were going to come to the Jews in the next 100 years. And that's how Rome ends up getting burnt down in 70 AD. And then 135, another group rose up, the son of the star. Help me out. 135, who's the revolt? Not the Mac, it would be... I just forgot on my fell on my mind. Bar-Koba revolt, and they rose up and they're going to deliver Israel, and Rome says no you're not, and then plowed the city. Hadrian came in. They had a 3-year war. They minted coins and everything. So what Jesus is doing, there's been groups trying to do it. Jesus comes and actually does it the way it was supposed to be done, and then after him they continue to do it until the Jews are removed from history, as far as we know, living there in Jerusalem. So that's just interesting. That's all tied into Barabbas. It says, the crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Now, this is Mark recording. Now, this Mark writing, who was a skilled scribe, but history, church history, early church history, says this is Peter's account. This is Peter telling the story. And as we finish 1 Peter here on Tuesday or Monday nights, we're going to see that Mark is with Peter as he's closing down the book, as Silas is writing the book of 1 Peter for Peter. Mark is also there with him. So Peter has got two scribes with him. Silas is writing 1 Peter. Mark apparently wrote the Gospel of Peter. If you want to, you know, there is a Gospel of Peter, which is a forgery or not, you know, not a true scripture. But this is, again, Peter would have saw these things. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. That is the Praetorium. Now, you know where the, you know what that is. That's inside. They went inside this gate. Inside that gate, there in the palace, the Praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on. Now, this is all taking place inside Herod's palace. Put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him, and they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. A certain man, okay, now, do you understand what just took place there? I mean, you know the story. But the Jews would be standing out here. Jesus disappears into Herod's palace, and that's on that pavement that they've just uncovered. Somewhere in that area, these things happen to Jesus. I mean, they're just bored. I mean, it's like, hey, here's something to play with tonight or this morning. And they toyed at Jesus and then sent him back out here onto the pavement, and they're going to have him crucified. Now watch this. See if this adds up. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the follower of Alexander and Rufus. Now, these guys, their names are mentioned because the reason they're mentioned is Mark and Peter know Alexander and Rufus. In fact, we see their names again in the letter to the Romans. And so they're probably younger kids, younger men at this time, but they join the church and they are become leaders or members of the church and are addressed later on. And their father, they're coming into town with their father, or at least Simon was coming to town, was passing by on his way. Watch, are you ready for this? This is huge for our little discussion today. Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. And they forced him to carry the cross. Coming in from the country, that is almost an absolute. Here's the city right there, bad city. There's the Temple Mount, bad Temple Mount. Here's Herod's palace right here. Here's the crucifixion. There's going to be a quarry here. Well, actually, yeah, a quarry that they exhausted. This is what the Bible says. This is what history shows. This is what you can see when you get there. You can go down into the quarry. They couldn't, no more good stones. Some of those stones were put in the temple. But they had turned it into a garden. They'd put some dirt in it, and that's what they find there. They'd put some dirt in there, planted some plants, and they just used the rest of the stones to cut out tombs in the rest of the stone. It's outside the city. This is where Jesus is at for this trial before Pilate. And the Jews are standing outside here in the city gate, hollering in, giving instructions. Jesus gets whipped in here, comes back out, and it's time to crucify him and take him right here for the crucifixion. And he's carrying his cross, and he falls down. We'll read it in Luke also. And a guy named Simon. Now, where is Simon? Simon is, well, just read, you can see it right here. Where was Simon? I lost my place here. A certain man, verse 21, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the follower of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. So he's coming in for the activities for the day, coming in from the country to go into the city, and he's passing by. And they say, carry his cross. So Simon, right place, right time, out, he's in the country, and he's passing by as he's coming in, and he walks by this situation right there. So that's interesting that's where Simon is on his way in. And just, can you carry the cross on your way? So, I mean, he was outside the city when he picked up the cross. Forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. But he did not take it. Then they crucified him, dividing up his garments. Okay, go to John 18. John 18. We're just looking for, now that we've got the location, just some events that take place. John 18, verse 28. John 18, verse 28. And it's going to be the same situation. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas, or Caiaphas, to the place of the Roman governor. Now, Caiaphas, they actually go from Annas to Caiaphas, the old high priest, the present high priest, to the Temple Mount, to the Sanhedrin, and then to the Roman governor. By now, it was early morning, and to avoid, watch this, to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. So this whole palace complex, they did not enter it. And so where's a good place to be there but not be in the palace? It can't be, there's no other place on the outside. You could maybe come in, maybe there's a place to come in on this side, but now you're in the city. So again, it supports this place right here. They wanted to avoid ceremony uncleanness. The Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. And if we have Jesus killed and we go inside, we can't eat the Passover, so we'll stay outside and kill Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, we want to do it the right way. So Pilate came out to them. See, he's not in his palace. He came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." That sounds like a cover story. Pilate says, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." You've got law. You know, I'm just here to oversee Roman jurisdiction. You've got your own laws. "But we have no right to execute anyone." They couldn't kill someone. They've got to get Roman permission to execute someone. The Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death that he was going to die, would be fulfilled. He has to be pierced. He has to be, you know, the Roman style crucifixion. He can't be stoned to death. He's got to be hung up and pierced to fulfill prophecy. Pilate then, watch, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So he would have come out here. He would have came out, possibly came out here to the crowd and met with them. And they say, "Well, we wouldn't have brought him if we didn't want him killed." So he goes, Pilate goes back inside, talks to Jesus either on this pavement or goes up here on the bema seat. Possibly he's just standing there talking to Jesus on the pavement, which is going to come up here. It's going to be mentioned here. And just ask him some questions. This is where Pilate could have been talking to Jesus. He's not in the doorway. It's a part outside the wall, you know, and then the doorway's behind that. So Pilate is talking to Jesus. I'm looking for my place again. Okay. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" He says, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replies. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants wouldn't fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." What a powerful statement. "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate, "What is truth?" A great philosophical statement. Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews. You see, he was out here with the Jews. They said, "We want him crucified." What has he done? So he goes in, talks to Jesus, says, "Well, yeah, what is truth?" Comes back out to the Jews. He went back out again to the Jews. "I find no basis for a charge against him." So Pilate is more impressed with Jesus than he is with the Jews. "But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted, "No, no, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now here, they call for Barabbas. In other words, in other readings, sometimes it looks like he goes, "Well, hey, give me somebody." And they bring Barabbas out. In this case, they initiate, again, which way it could go either way. But they know we would rather have that Messiah than this Messiah. We'd rather have that insurrectionist than the one John the Baptist anointed. They shouted back, "No, no, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. He'd taken part in a protest. I could just name off a bunch of funny stuff here, try to be comical. Chapter 19, are you still with me? Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers, now he goes back in again. Jesus goes into the Praetorium in Herod's palace. The soldiers twist together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out, hoping to get mercy to you, to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, so again, Jesus would appear again on the pavement here, and Pilate would be talking to the crowd, they started shouting, "Crucify, crucify." So, I mean, again, I've said it already, you've already figured it out, but this is the place where Jesus was standing here in the doorway, that goes into the Bema seat hallway there, and the crowd is out here, this is where they're shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," outside the city gates. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die because he claims to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid because he'd already talked to Jesus. Now he's afraid of what they said, he said. And he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" So he goes back inside again and talks to Jesus a second time. So he's going to appear a third time before the Jews. He's going to come out and talk to them in this location three times. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate says. "Don't you realize," a great line coming up here, "don't you realize I have power either to free you or crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Not that Herod, Pilate's not sinning, but the one who's supporting this is greater. "For then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, 'If you let this man go, you are not a friend. You are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.'" So now all of a sudden, the Jews are on whose side? "Go Caesar! Go Caesar!" And Pilate's like, now Pilate, they put Pilate in the place of being anti-Caesar. And if you know this history, the reason he was stationed in Judea and not at a higher location in Italy or something is because he had fallen out of favor with Caesar, and he got this low-life job over here as ambassador to, some island country that doesn't produce anything. And so it's like, well, if you're no friend, we support Caesar. If you don't support Caesar, you're not Caesar's friend. Well, I don't want that to get back in the papers. And there's nowhere else for him to go except, well, he's already at the bottom. So when Pilate heard this, and he heard that, yeah, we could make you send you lower, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat. So here's the first mention of the Bema seat right here. Now this is where he comes out and sits on the Bema. That's a translation of the word Bema. He sits down on the Bema seat. So he's been going in and out, talking to the crowd, talking to Jesus, talking to the crowd, talking to Jesus, sending Jesus back to get whipped, talking to Jesus, coming back. And now it's like when he sees, oh man, they're going to pit me against Caesar, he goes up the steps and sits on the Bema seat. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as, here it is, see this? At the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. Gabbatha. So right here, this, my friends, pavement is the stone pavement. That is the place known in Aramaic as Gabbatha. And he goes up to the Bema seat, which is at the place known as Gabbatha, or the place of judgment. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here's your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, take him away, crucify him. "Shall I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," said the Jews. See, that's interesting. because that's where they're going to end up playing back into. Caesar was the king of the Roman Empire, which is the fourth beast. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the Jews are siding with the head of the fourth beast, which is where they're going to pick history up when they sign an agreement with what we call the Antichrist. They say, right, and they're going to bring this back together. And that's now we're into eschatology. But they leave off right here, right where they're supposed to be. Their next move is to agree and say, we have no king but Caesar, and they're going to side up with whoever Caesar's going to be in the future. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to a place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side. Pilate had a notice prepared, fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, obviously. In fact, they have to walk by it on their way. They're coming in for Passover, like Simon coming in for the preparation day. They're coming in for the preparation day. And as they come in, they go right by Golgotha, and there is a guy hanging there, and it says right here, King of the Jews. They're coming in to honor the king, coming in to honor their God and their deliverance from Egypt, and they walk by the king. They're like, whoa, take that. And you just think of some, you know, protest sign that's offensive. You know, you think of people being offended by, well, just anything, you know. But this is really, here's your king hanging on a cross dying as you're coming in to worship your God. And it's like, that's not very nice, Pilate. Not on a holy day. But Pilate's going to, they threatened to take him to Caesar. Let me read this again. Okay. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. It's offensive. It's offensive to us. I'm adding that. But that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. So in other words, you could have written claim to be the King of the Jews. In other words, don't do this claim. He just says King. He just labeled him. This is the King of the Jews. And they says, change the verbiage. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. In other words, I didn't forget the verb. He is the King of the Jews. I mean, that's what Pilate said. He is the King of the Jews. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes. And now we go into the crucifixion and on like that. And we could read Luke 23, 1 through 25, and get some more information from that. But you can see several things, you know, referring to Gabbatha the stones, the Bema seat where he went and sat, Simon coming in from outside the city, and they just would have taken him around right up here for crucifixion. And everybody's coming in this gate right here, walking by. It's like, well, that... don't be putting that up on a religious day. That's ridiculous. Again, what a culture. I'm such a soft person that these people are coming in with their families for Passover and they've got to walk by. And this wasn't like what? They just crucified a guy right there? No, this was the place of crucifixion. I mean, this is where they was already set up. They didn't say, well, where are we going to crucify him? Where we crucify people? And where they crucify people? Outside the city gate. In other words, if you want to lead an insurrection against the Romans, here's the bodies of these other guys. They're still hanging on the crosses. They hurried to take the bodies down because of the holy day. Otherwise, they'd just leave them up there as sign markers. Welcome to Jerusalem. Don't break the law. I mean, what a different world we live in. Okay, main thing I wanted to show you, that's kind of exciting, and I've been looking at that for the last couple of years, putting it together, and finally it's like, man, this has to be at least shown to somebody. And so I hope you like that, and next week we'll come back too, and we will open the six seals. Now, this is not real. This is not the actual wrath of God. So it's not the Ark of the Covenant. Don't be afraid. But we'll go through that next week and show you some things. Father, we thank you for the chance to look into this information. We thank you for the historical evidence that you provided for us. We thank you that we can rest assured that Jesus Christ is our Lord and is the King. We ask that we may again share this information with others, that we may live a life that is pleasing to you, that we may demonstrate the power of the resurrection life in the things we do and the things we say. And again, we do thank you for the opportunity to be born again, that we are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ as the true King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience.